and welcome to Off the Shelf, brought to you by the Friends of the Delaware County District Library. Love the library? Join the Friends. For the next 30 minutes, we'll explore what's happening at the Delaware County District Library. Here are your hosts, George Needham and Nicole Fowles.
Good morning, Delaware. Boy, that's a great weather forecast for this weekend. I'm really looking forward to having some nice weather this weekend.
It's about time.
It sure is, Nicole. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I get a clothing subscription box, and I was real mad when it was cold a couple, days ago. And so I went on my clothing subscription box, and I was like, fine, send me all the sweaters. Apparently, I don't need warm weather clothes at all. And so this week I got two sweaters.
Eventually the weather will catch up with your wardrobe.
Yeah.
So on the board today is Mark Bingaman filling in for our usual friend, Mr. Tellis, who is taking a much deserved trip down to see the space program. Mm-hmm. That's his baby, and he's really, so I'm sure he's in his element down in Houston. So we have a good show today. We've got Molly Myers-Labady, our deputy director. Hi, Molly. How you doing?
Molly.
We'll bring her in.
Oh, there she is. Hey, Molly. How you doing?
I'm here.
Yeah. I know that you are doing one of those things that we have to do in this world, but we don't necessarily like, and that's waiting for your car to be fixed.
Exactly what I'm doing.
Well, we're glad you found time to talk to us this morning, because we're going to be talking about some major changes that are coming to the library on June 1st as we start to slack off some of the pandemic emergency procedures we put in. So we'll talk more about that in the second half of the show. But Nicole, what are you reading, listening to, binging on, enjoying?
I just got a book that is a memoir, and oh my goodness, it's so funny. The woman who wrote this book, her name is Ruthie Lindsey.
Okay.
And last name is spelled Lindsey. And Ruthie is Ruthie. Ruthie Lindsey. I discovered her on Instagram because I follow another person. His name's Carlos Whitaker, and he has a podcast, and it's called Human Hope, and Ruthie was a guest. Okay, so we've made the journey, right? Ruthie was on the podcast, and, the idea of the Human Hope podcast is, just like interviewing wonderful people who are doing wonderful things and bringing some feeling good feelings back to our lives right now.
Wow, we can use that.
We can really use that, yeah. Uh-huh. So Carlos introduces her, and he was like, Ruthie's going to be your best friend. You don't know her yet, but she's going to be your best friend. So let me tell you a little bit about her journey and what you'll learn about when you read her new memoir that just came out. The memoir is called There I Am, The Journey from Hopelessness to Healing. And so here's the story about Ruthie. At 17 years old, she's hit by an ambulance near her home in rural Louisiana. She is given a 5% chance of survival and a 1% chance of walking again. She has a spinal fusion surgery, and she defeats the odds, and she leaves the hospital on her own two feet.
Wow.
However, just a few years later, she's newly married, but she's got this chronic pain. She's got terrible, terrible pain, doesn't quite know what's happening. And everything is confounding the doctors. She goes back into the hospital, test after test, years go by. They finally figure out that the wire that was used to fuse her spine together to give her that 1% chance of walking and that 95% chance of living, that wire that was keeping her alive was also killing her because it was piercing her spinal cord.
Oh, geez.
So then they have to figure out, okay, what do we do with this? It was keeping you alive, but now it's killing you. You've got chronic pain. What's going on? She is living with chronic pain because when you live with chronic pain, you have to deal with the medication that goes on with that. The medication can be very bad for your system. It can be very addicting, all of these things. So 7 years she goes through this journey, loses her marriage. Her father, the one surgery that she needs to have is very, very expensive, and mounds of medical debt are, looking her in the eye. Her father is on the way to the hospital to tell her that he has secured a means to pay for her surgery. On the way to the hospital, he dies of a sudden event. So just,
Good
you would
grief.
Think that this person would not be on a podcast that is called Human Hope.
No, you wouldn't.
Right? But Ruthie
is... It's almost inhuman hope.
Oh my gosh, right? Ruthie, you listen to her story and you hear how tragic it is, and then you hear how she came out. You wow. hear the other side. You hear that she discovered healing and loving herself again. She discovered healing and loving other people again. She got herself off of her medication for her chronic pain. She connected herself with nature, with religion, with lots of other different things that helped her find herself again. And this isn't a story that, you know, I would say is very... like completely religious. It's not like I prayed to God and I got better. It's like she challenges a lot of things. She challenges what the medical community told her. She challenges what her faith community told her. She challenges what just her everyday friends told her. And so a lot of the stuff, if you listen to the podcast episode that I'm talking about with Carlos Whitaker on Human Hope, she calls it woo-woo. She's like, it sounds a little woo-woo. Sounds a little woo-woo. But she's like, every morning I have tea with myself. And they're like, okay, so you have a morning tea by yourself. No. She has tea with herself. She has a tea and she has a little ritual and she just takes a moment to meditate and she finds a part of herself from her past, maybe like her 5-year-old child self who hid in the closet during thunderstorms. And she connects with that part of herself because, you know, there's the phrase of like, there's no bad dogs, only bad owners.
Yes.
Why don't we have that for humans? Mm. There's no bad humans. You know, only we've fallen into cycles. We've fallen into other things like that. And so she's saying, if I can connect with this 5-year-old traumatized child version of myself, if I can connect with this adult pain addicted part of myself, if I can connect with these things and I can give them the attention that they deserve, then maybe I can help heal them too.
Wow.
Very woo-woo.
Very woo-woo.
Very woo-woo.
I'll think on that woo-woo, though.
Oh, my gosh, right? So cool. So, again, if you want to go on this journey with her, it's not a spoiler about the 7-year thing. It's really what happened after the fact. It's called There I Am, The Journey from Hopelessness to Healing, a memoir by Ruthie Lindsay.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Molly, what are you listening to or reading or whatever at this point?
Well, I'm going to shock you all. I'm listening to the Lord John Gray series, which is a spinoff of the Outlander series.
Oh, man. I knew it. I knew Outlander was coming in.
Of course it is. This is the story of Lord John Gray, who his story interfiles into the Outlander story from the time he's about 13 and on. But at this point, it is the book I'm reading is called The Scottish Prisoner. Of course, these are by Diana Gabaldon. And in this story, Jamie, who, of course, is the main character of Outlander, is currently at a place called Hellwater, where he has been saved by Lord John Gray from being sent to the American colonies, and is pretty much a servant because he was in the Jacobite Rebellion. And this is Lord John Gray realizes he needs Jamie's help and has taken him from Hellwater back to London, where the Jacobite cause is still trying to pull Jamie back in. But Lord John Gray, who of course is in love with Jamie because everybody's in love with Jamie, is searching to find his way through the whole thing. It's beautiful. It's dramatic. It's completely ridiculous. There are sword fights and romance and everything going on, just like I need in all of my Diana Gabaldon books. And it's going to hold me until November 23rd when the next and supposedly final Outlander book comes out.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So,
the final
I'm just saying.
You answered my question because I was just thinking, like, how many more of them are there?
Well, there's not enough for Mark because he was swinging his sword around here like like he was Earl Flynn or something. The real swashbuckler. Yeah, so.
Well, you should know we are currently in something called Droughtlander, where we have no new books no new TV series.
Droughtlander.
So we're all just trying to survive on the little pieces that are left. I've almost read all the short stories, and I'm almost out of Lord John Gray books. So I don't know what I'm going to do next. Fan fiction?
No.
Don't do that.
Don't
do that. No. A couple of weeks ago, we had Becky Woodruff from our Orange Branch Library on, and she talked about a book called River of Teeth, if you remember this.
I do. The hippos.
About the hippos.
Yes. And oh, my gosh.
The author is Sarah Gailey. Once she talked about that, I had to read this book.
It's a good book talk.
This is a Western as if it were written by John Waters. It is hysterical. It is not for kids. It is kind of, it's not graphic, but there's a lot of things in there kids just wouldn't understand. Okay, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Don't let your kids read it.
Right. Older teens, fine. Yeah, but not mm-hmm. younger teens or younger than that. The whole idea of this book, if you didn't hear our other show, is there was a serious proposal at the end of the 19th century in the U.S. Congress to import hippos to the United States to eat up the invasive grasses that were clogging the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And then as they got bigger, and we would tame them and use them for meat. Because there was also a meat shortage in the country at this point.
All of these are bad ideas.
Wow. Terrible ideas. Awful ideas. It didn't go really far.
I don't know. I'm into this.
It never got through the U.S. Congress. But Sarah Gailey found out about this. And they took this idea, moved it back about 50 years so that it happened just before the Civil War. And what would happen then? So,
do they become animal warfare?
Sort of.
I was like, oh my gosh, I never thought about that aspect.
This book is set in the 1890s. So there's been 50 years, almost 40 years of this hippos thing. They go through how, this was the high point of President Buchanan's administration was signing the bill that brought the hippos to the United States. Abraham Lincoln loses re-election in 1864 because the hippos have gone wild. In 1868, Ulysses S. Grant is elected on the basis of he's going to get rid of the hippos. And it goes through like four presidents that none of them can do anything about these hippos.
Oh, my gosh.
So this book has everything. Feral hippos who eat people. It's got hippo wranglers.
I can't believe Buchanan made it into a book.
I know, yeah. You know, he's not even on the podium now for the top three bad U.S. presidents, but there he is in this book. This is speculative fiction at its best about what if this idea had come out. Like I said, feral hippos, hippo wranglers, evil land speculators, shady characters with incredible talents brought together for this big caper. And every time anybody talks about this caper, says, it's not a caper, it's an operation. And it becomes a tagline through the whole book because they've got a lead character named Winslow Houndstooth.
Yes.
And his hippo Ruby.
This sounds like the Weekend Update sketch with Stefan. Like, it has everything.
Exactly.
Feral hippos.
So, I know. Feral hippos in the Mississippi River. Who are
yes.
I mean, it's just hysterical. And it just goes on. And it's only a novella. It reads in about less than 3 hours. I listened to it on Hoopla as an audiobook. The reader is a guy named Peter Burkrot. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his last name. He's excellent, although there are two characters who both have New Orleans French accents.
They're
kind of hard to tell apart sometimes. But other than that, this has just been a terrific. There is a sequel called The Taste of Marrow, which I'm going to read next. I've already downloaded it. I haven't listened to it yet. But Sarah Gailey burst onto the scene in like 2015, and she's come out with about five books so far. There's another one that I've also downloaded called Upright Women Wanted. I had to read this. I know nothing about the book, but the subtitle is, Are You a Coward or Are You a Librarian?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
So I am really looking forward to it. Like I said, if you like speculative fiction, if you like Westerns, if you like just the craziest ideas you've ever heard, you might enjoy River of Teeth by Sarah Gailey. And Becky, I just want to say, if you happen to be listening, thank you. This was one of the best book recommendations I've had in years. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about some of the changes that are coming to the library on June 1st. So please stay tuned.
Back to George and Nicole and Off the Shelf on My96.7.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. 70s, 80s, and 90s. I didn't realize we were talking about the temperatures.
Oh, that's a good one.
So we are going to talk a little bit this morning about the changes that we've got forthcoming June 1st. We had a board meeting this week, the library board. We also had a Friends of the Library board meeting. Thank you, Friends, for sponsoring our show. But we had both board meetings this week, as we do in most third weeks of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over these with the board about what we're going to do. So some of the things that we've already done have been seen by the public. We put out more seating again. We've discontinued mm-hmm. the 1 hour limit for people to visit the library. We've opened the local history room at Delaware and the study rooms at Delaware and Orange. And we're making some other changes as of June 1st. We started working on these changes before the governor announced the changes in the masking and the congregating rules. So let's talk a little bit first. The most important one, the thing that people recognize most, is new hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are really excited about this. We are going to go back to having morning hours every day, all four locations, except Ostrander, which is never open on Monday. But we're going to start opening again at 9 o'clock, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday at all four locations, like I said, except Ostrander. And we're going to be open Monday through Thursday until 7 and until 5 on Friday and Saturday. So we're really increasing the number of hours that we're available to the public. We have not had a lot of demand for Sunday hours. And in fact, I've gotten personally more email from people who are glad we're closed Sunday than I have from people who say, why aren't you open on Sunday? So if you are interested in Sunday, if you want us to be open on Sunday, or if you don't think we should be open, drop us a note. You can send it to askus@delawarelibrary.org. You can send it to me personally at gneedham@delawarelibrary.org. But or tell the people that you talk to when you come into the library that how you feel about it, because we're really interested in getting public opinion on this. It's expensive to be open Sunday. Mm-hmm. We have to schedule staff. We have to, you know, utilities and everything. If the demand's not there, we don't want to do it. And we don't, we're not assuming there's going to be any demand before school starts up, at least.
Right.
So, but let us know what you think, because we really need the public's opinion. Molly, you're responsible for our branch libraries. How are they responding to the changes and what we're going to be doing?
So far, you know, our team is really excited to see people. They're ready to be back to where we're at. We're excited to have our study rooms open, having the extended hours. We're looking forward to, you know, we had the restrictions, like you could only be in the library for an hour. Lifting that so that people can get what they need done. Having chairs out. Mm-hmm. Oh, we love seeing you getting cuddled back into those chairs. Enjoying your newspapers. Enjoying, you know, looking through your stacks of books. So we're just so excited to see everybody coming back in.
Well, part of that too.
The drive-through, though, is going to stay open if you're still not comfortable.
Right.
So yes. Keep on using our drive-through. Our curbside service is still active everywhere, and we're happy to make you comfortable wherever you are right now.
We actually loved, you know, because it looked awful having chairs piled up in the corner with caution tape around it. Yeah. So we are really glad to be getting beyond that.
I think that's the thing that I'm most excited about. Like yesterday, I went out and I took some signs down. Yes. And then next week, I'm going to take some more signs down. Like,
as a communications manager, Nicole is notoriously unhappy when we put up signs, especially ones that don't match the color scheme or the fonts that we like to use and things like that. So she is having a great deal of fun taking down all of our restrictive signs. And I hate signs.
Yes.
There was a song when I was a kid called Signs.
I know that song.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. You know, everywhere there's signs, you know, and it's like, and I saw a meme the other day that said, the workforce is so tight right now that long-haired freaky people are encouraged to apply.
Yes.
So if you know that song, it's funny, but you know, if you don't know the song, it doesn't mean anything. But anyway.
Well, and it should be signs, everywhere signs. I don't read them. No one else does. I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. Every time somebody emails me and says, I think we need a sign for that, I say, I don't think we do.
I'm the one, too, who's standing right in front of a sign. I ask a question, and the person just kind of looks at the sign, sighs, and answers me.
There it is.
Ah, there's the song. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Right in front of you is the answer you're looking for.
We're just, it's so nice. I think one of the nicest things that people, especially in the Lewis Center, Orange Township area, are going to just lose their minds about is the study rooms.
Oh, yeah, and the quiet room.
Yes.
Both of those being open again are going to be greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
We are also resuming community and bookmobile stops very shortly. Yeah. So Robbie Apt, who is our bookmobile manager, the Family and Community Outreach Services Manager, is working on those right now. We are ending the quarantine of returned materials.
So,
So we have a lot of people who, when their materials are returned, they want them taken off their record immediately.
Right now.
Because they check it. Yeah. They want to make sure that they're getting credit for returning things. And for the last year, 14 months, when people brought stuff back, we were putting it in quarantine, leaving it alone, not touching it. Then the research came out this spring that said you don't really have to worry about it because your chances of catching coronavirus from an object like that is about the same as either winning the lottery or being struck by a meteorite. So we're doing away with the quarantine of materials. That's going to take a little time because we are really backed up with things to return. We've already started phasing that out. By June 1st, we'll be trying to end it completely. It may take a few more weeks to actually finish that, but I got to hand it to our circulation and branch people, Lori at Delaware, Denise at Orange, Mandy at Powell Carla at Ostrander are doing a great job implementing these changes that really needed to be done. Now, there are two other things. We are going to discontinue free printing from the system. So we'll go back to the Nicola page for black and white and
15
cents for color copying. Mm-hmm. If you need something printed out from one of our systems, or if you've got a resume or you've got something like that, we will continue to do that for free out of our system. But if you're printing for yourself, that's going to be we're going to put the charges back on.
Yeah. And printing is really, really, really easy. Our IT manager, Tracy, has made the system so simple. Visit DelawareLibrary.org/print.
Right.
That's all you need to do. There's a website that you can go to. You can upload your documents and you can just go ahead and say, I want this to print at Orange today, and then just send it. And then when you get there, we'll release it for you. And then you'll just, pay the 5 cents like you normally would. Very, very easy. Mm-hmm. The other thing
imagine you're at the auto dealership and you need to print something for your way into work.
The other thing we do is our patrons got really accustomed to emailing just forwarding an email to something. And you can also do that. And that email address is on that page, DelawareLibrary.org/print. And you can forward your email to that email and it'll just get right into our system.
The one issue that is controversial for the whole country at this point, and Ohio in particular,
don't
is masks.
Don't say it. Oh. Mm.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in with both feet because it's the only way I ever do anything. Here's where we're going with this. Between now and through June 1st, we still have to follow the governor's the mandates that are there. Mm-hmm. The Ohio mandates right now are: if you are fully vaccinated, you do not need to wear a mask indoors. If you are not, you are still required to wear a mask indoors. That is still our policy. We are not fighting with people because we don't need the fight, and you don't need the fight, and we can't ask you if you're vaccinated or not. It's none of our business. So we are on the honor system for that. After June 1st, the mandates come off. It is strictly on the honor system. You are still highly encouraged to wear a mask if you are not vaccinated or if you're not past the 2-week period for that. But we can't enforce it, so we're not going to. So we are asking you to be honorable people. If you've been vaccinated, feel free to come in without the mask. If you haven't, we really do request that you wear the masks. We'll have them available. We're still going to have all of our other protective equipment out there. Mm-hmm. Our plexi will be still in place. Masks will be available. Hand sanitizer will be available. All of that sort of stuff. We still have some open issues, like when we're going to make the community rooms available to the public again.
Right.
I got a committee of people under Joe O'Rourke, our public services manager. They're working on that right now. We also have some open issues about when we're going to start public programming again. Mm-hmm. There aren't any in-person programs scheduled for the Summer Reading Club. We'll be talking about that more next week when we have Kelly Cochran on the show to talk about Summer Reading Club. But just to give you that information, if you have questions, please, please feel free to send them to askus@delawarelibrary.org or to send them to me directly at gneedham@delawarelibrary.org. We get back to people as quickly as we possibly can when we get those questions. So please feel free to contact us. We have the virtual job fair continues, and I know you've got a company that you want to talk about today, Nicole.
I do. Today's highlight for the virtual job fair, this is for teens. We basically every year we do a teen job fair, and we highlight local employers who hire at ages 14, 15, 16 plus. This week we are highlighting Steak and Shake. That is the location located on Owenfield Drive. It would be right off 23. You would pass it as you kind of pass that whole Meyer, Walmart, everything plaza there. They hire ages 16 and older, and all positions are open. So that's going to mean servers, hostesses, and cashiers, cooks.
Is there... Always give me a hat.
Oh, yes. And they give Molly a hat. Not just the little ones get a hat.
I can't go in without getting my hat.
We've got three book clubs coming up this week. The Around the World in Books and Bites is going to be talking about The Island of Sea Women by Lisa C. That's Monday at 1 o'clock. We have Amber's Book Club on Tuesday at 6 p.m. They're going to be doing Not a Drop to Drink by Mindy McGinnis, who's one of our favorite authors and has been a guest on this show several times.
That was really her breakout novel.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It was. And so really good to have be able to discuss one of hers. And then the Harlow's Book Club at Ostrander is going to be discussing The Woman in Cabin 10 by Ruth Ware, which is a mystery thriller. Mm-hmm. And so you've got plenty of book club options this week. And we've got our Dungeons and Dragons Club on Saturday evening with Danielle.
D&D, get your characters ready.
Yeah. Forgotten Realms Club. So anyway, we will look forward to those things happening, and we'll be looking forward to, again, reopening more of our events, more hours at the library, and we just really appreciate your support. And I have to say right here, huge thanks to our library staff and to the Friends of the Library for their support as we've moved through this really difficult time. One of the things, another thing that we're still talking about is when we can start accepting donations to the Friends of Books. Not yet, please, not yet, but we're almost there, okay?
Soon.
And the Friends will be having, will have a presence at the Ostrander Festival on Saturday, June 5th. They're going to be selling a books at a table, not in the library, but at the festival. So look for them at that event. So thank you very much for listening. Mark, it was great having you on the board.
Absolutely.
For a change.
Absolutely. Glad to be
good
here.
Good seeing you.
Yeah.
And Nicole, as always, a pleasure. And Molly, good luck with your car, and we'll see you back at the office as soon as you get it finished. So thank you very
Hopefully
much for being here.
Hopefully sooner than later.
And we will see you in the stacks.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf, brought to you by the Friends of the Delaware County District Library. Love the library? Join the Friends. Join us next week to find out what's happening at the Delaware County District Library.